In Matthew 26 and verse 41, it says, "Watch and pray that you enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak." He said, from verse 40, "And he cometh to his disciples and findeth them asleep, and saith unto Peter, What? Could you not watch with me just for an hour? Watch and pray that you enter not into temptation, for the spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak." Now, if we quickly go to Habakkuk chapter 2, it tells us this in Habakkuk. Habakkuk 2 and verse 1. "I will stand upon my watch and set me upon the tower, and I will watch to see what he will say unto me." So when he says watch and pray, that is, watch to see what he will say unto you and pray that. He says, "I will stand upon my watch and set me upon my tower." Tower means my eyes will be lifted over and above that I might see. "And I will watch to see what he will say, and I shall," and says, "and what I shall answer when I'm reproved." "And the Lord answered and said, Write the vision, make it plain, and so that those that see it might run with it." So if we get there, where we'll tie this up is about seeing certain things and then praying those things into your life. But what I want to emphasize is the importance of what you are looking at with your eyes. What your eyes continuously behold as the key to the resurrection power of Jesus, that is the same spirit that raised up Jesus from the dead, that same spirit having room to walk within our lives, to walk on the inside of us, and to raise us up into levels of glory. Now, start with Galatians chapter 3 and verse 5. And it says, "He that ministereth the Spirit," he went on and says, "He therefore that ministereth to you the Spirit." That word ministereth is in present continuous tense. In other words, he that is ministering continuously is doing that, "to you the Spirit, and worketh miracles." Worketh also is in present continuous. All right, it's not like worketh miracles, he that worked miracles in the past and once ministered the Spirit to you. No, he that is ministering the Spirit and works in miracles amongst you, doeth he it by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? In other words, Jesus Christ is the one that is pouring out his Spirit. He said, "Listen, when I am gone, I will go up to the Father and I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter." And he spoke about the fact, or John spoke about the fact, that "I baptize you with water, but Jesus is the one that will baptize with the Holy Ghost." But Jesus did not baptize anybody with the Spirit when he was physically on the earth. So the baptism of the Holy Spirit came after Jesus was raised up and he ascended on high and started pouring out his Spirit into sons of men there. So anytime we pray, Jesus said this, "The works that I do shall you do also, and greater works than these shall you do." Why could he have said this? The reason is because Jesus did no work on the earth until he was baptized, all right, with the Spirit. That is when he started doing his great works upon the earth. So it was really the Spirit that was doing the works in Jesus Christ. And he said, "These works that I do, you shall do also, And then he said, greater works than these shall you do. In other words, the Spirit will have more room, all right, to do greater things in you than he did in me while I was on the earth, because he'll be walking through the new man. In other words, Jesus was the last Adam. So when he was on the earth, he was the last Adam. When he was raised up from the dead, he became the second man. So he was, Adam was the first man, and Jesus was the last Adam. So the Spirit of God could walk inside the Adamic race to this measure. But after that man was crucified and the new man was raised up, Christ now, he became the second man. That is the man that is on the inside of us, right? And so the Spirit of God can walk in greater measure through us than he could walk when Jesus was on the earth there. He said, the reason why you'll do this is because, he said, whatsoever you ask the Father in my name, I will do it. In other words, when you pray about something in my name, I will move on your behalf, pour out my Spirit into your heart, and it says miracles will be worked in that particular situation there. But then he gave us the condition. Paul said, he that worketh miracles amongst you, is he doing it in the lives of the people that are keeping the law or keeping the works of the law, or is he getting it done by the hearing of faith? It says he is getting it done on the principle of the hearing of faith, even as Abraham, which means the same method he used in Abraham is the same method he is using in us today. Even as Abraham believed God and it was counted unto him for righteousness, even as we believe God the same way Abraham believed God, the Spirit of God, or Jesus, will be able to work mighty things within our lives. So let's look at the example of Abraham. Even as Abraham believed God, how did Abraham believe God? Because Jesus will work supernatural things in the lives of people that are not keeping the works of the law, but are doing it even as Abraham believed God. Abraham believed against hope. He believed in hope. So Abraham believed God in a situation that was considered impossible, right? Which means that he believed God to do something where he was in a hopeless situation. And this is what miracles are all about, supernatural things. If the situation, if things can be done by human hands, if we can get things done, or that thing can be done by ourselves, then the intervention of God is not required. But where the intervention of God is required, it means God is set to perform in and through a person that which is considered, one, beyond hope, two, to be impossible, and it requires supernatural ability to get it done. So here the Bible says he ministers the Spirit to work miracles in our lives. So if we live by the faith of Abraham, then supernatural things should be happening. The picture of our lives should be people where things are getting done in their lives is present continuous. Jesus is ministering of the Spirit and miracles are happening. Things, right, people are taking strides that naturally speaking, this is completely impossible. Things are happening that are beyond human comprehension. So I've written here that Abraham considered not, and this is what I want to show this morning. He did not look at the contrary evidence. He didn't let his eyes, all right, continuously behold. Abraham realized that that was his problem. He kept his eyes on the contrary or the hopelessness there of the situation that he was confronted with. At one point, Abraham decided, I will take my eyes off this. He understood that the light of the body is the eye. The progress will come according to that which you are looking at. Abraham understood that. That the power, all right, of a man, it will be, all right, is found in that which his eyes continuously behold. So he considered not. He took his eyes, all of that, of his age, of the deadness of Sarah's womb, and then he placed his eyes on the promise of God and did not stagger and stumble, beheld that, right? And then he started giving God glory, right? Strengthening himself in prayer, in faith, praising God until he became fully persuaded. So what I want to show this morning is this, and this is from personal experience. Recently I was believing God for something and I was confessing, and he said, and I'd heard Kenneth Copeland say this right once. And God told me, he said, look, you need to do this. You need to get your eyes upon the scriptures where I have promised you these things. That faith is the evidence of things that are not seen. So once faith comes into your heart, it's because you have been given the evidence of things that cannot be seen with the human eye. So Abraham was given an evidence there, that the evidence that you can become a father of many nations on the earth. And Abraham discovered that the key is, I will take my eyes off the hopeless situation and I will keep my eyes on the evidence, right, that I have been presented and offered by God. And by keeping my eyes on the evidence, I will constantly give God praise for what I am seeing. He says, and it got to a point where he was fully persuaded that what God had promised he was able to perform, so that the behavior of Abraham completely changed, in the sense that he was now persuaded. So when they said, look, take your only son to the altar there, he was able to take what was the instrument, considered as the instrument through which he was going to become a father of many nations. He could take Isaac and say, I will destroy this. I can allow this to be destroyed, right? Because what I am seeing here, the evidence, is stronger than any encouraging signals that are on the outside. So what I want to show is this. When believing God for what we know to be his will, now, please understand this. We know that this is the will of God, which means Abraham, God was the one that quickened Abraham and promised Abraham. So God came and showed Abraham the evidence. All right? And God is in the business. You know, many times we want to take our fears out of God because sometimes we are afraid, what will God say, or we feel God might not understand. My dear friends, everything that you want to pray about is God that started the conversation in the first place. All right? You won't know what bondage you was until God said, I will set you at liberty. So what are you saying? It's God that said, I will set you at liberty. You say, well, you know, I want to ask for a marriage partner. You know, I want to do. Listen to me. You are not the one who came out with the idea of marriage. It's God that said it is not good for a man to be alone. Are you following what I'm saying? It's God's idea. So this issue of saying that, you know, I want to pray, right, and, you know, will God be able to provide evidence? It's God that started it, right? Someone says, well, I'm hungry. Will God be able to? It's God. If God could have created you as a robot, this keyboard doesn't get hungry now. God could have created you as a machine without you having it. God is the one that started this thing. That's what I want you to understand. Someone says, well, you know, I'm looking for work. I don't know whether God was the one that started work. He's not man. God was the one that brought man and said, this is work. And after man fell, he said, let me tell you, work will now be hard. In the sweat of your face will you eat bread. Then he said that the curse is broken by the blessing of Abraham that has come. So you should know that that curse of tedious labor has been broken through the promise of the Spirit that we now have. So God is the one that started it. Someone says, I want to prosper. It's not your idea. Prospering is God's idea. God was the one that said, I will bless you and make your name great. Do you understand what I'm saying here? Look, we think it's our idea. It's not. It's God that put it there. Are you following what I'm saying here? I says, well, you know, I have my own idea about, it's God that put it. Everything is God. It's God. Nobody, right? God is the one that suggested it. Look, man can adjust to anything. It's because God promised that man is not adjusting. Man will adjust to slavery. Man will adjust to bondage. All right? Man will have lived with sickness. There are people that don't believe God heals. They live and just. It's God that said, I am the God that healeth thee. He started this thing. Do you understand what we're saying here? So God is the aggressor when it comes to offering man things, right, that are beyond what man can even imagine. So this idea of leaving God out and trying to, it's demonic. All right? Let's go to God there. I asked Reverend Miko once, I said, sir, this prosperity, they said, look, let us first start. I've said it before. It wasn't man, it wasn't Solomon, it wasn't Abraham that said he wants to be rich. It's God that started it. It's Abraham that said, I want blessing, I want my name to be great. God is the one that started it. It's God that created man, and the first thing he said is, be fruitful, multiply, have dominion. It's God that started dominion. I'm sure if they just left man, he'd be okay with the animals. It's God that said, well, do you understand? Subdue. Are you following what I'm saying here? So God, we must understand that these things, these agitations in us for growth and expansion is God. All right? The characteristics of life, seven of them, growth is part of it. If you don't want to expand, that means you are suppressing the life that is inside you. So it's God. Solomon prayed for wisdom. God was the one that came and said, hey, come, I'm not through. I will make you the richest. It's God. Right? So we need to understand this here. So when we go to God here, all right, because the Bible tells us that the prophets did not speak according to the will of man, but they spoke as they were moved by the Spirit. All right? And so when we're in a situation and we go to God in prayer, Jesus ministers the Holy Spirit. He pours out his Spirit. As Paul said, I know this shall turn to my salvation through your prayer and the supply of the Spirit of Jesus. So there's Jesus pours out his Spirit right inside, and the Spirit comes in, and it is not, we are not born according to the will of man, but according, all right, to the word of God. And the Spirit now shows us, and that's what it means to quicken the dead, right? The entrance of God's word, he quickens. The Bible, Jesus said, it is the Spirit that quickens. The flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak are spirit and life. So the Spirit of God quickens the same way he quickened Abraham and said, a father of many nations have I made thee. God comes into that situation and makes an offer that quickens you. Do you get what I'm saying here? You wake up, you're alive. He gives you a dream beyond what which is there. He gives you a hope. He quickens you. He says, this is what this is all about. He went to Jacob and quickened Jacob. He said, I did not know that this was. Everybody God has come to, God has never given them a dream that is less than what they were thinking. People even moved back when God presents and says, this is what I am offering here. And the reason why I'm saying this is that one of the first mistakes is that people are pursuing things, all right, that God has not offered, where God is offering things that they don't find out. So people come out and just create things. Wait for God. Let God make the offer. As they say in Godfather, I'll make an offer, you can't refuse. He makes an offer. Are you following what I'm saying? He comes to you and says, here is the offer for your business. And the way he does that is that he pours out his Spirit and suddenly you are quickened. You see something. He guides you into all truth. And then the Spirit calls that thing into existence as though it were. He comes there and shows you and says, this is what I'm saying here. And he calls that particular place as though it were, he says, a father of many nations have I made thee. So it's the word that quickens there. And so what I said here is that what I want to show is this. When believing God for what we know is his will, we start declaring it. We have our confession, which is right. Holding fast our confession, saying the same thing as God. We start by declaring it as a fact in our lives with a voice of thanksgiving. And I was doing this, and however, this is what he communicated to me. It is important that we then read and continuously read those scriptures. When you start confessing the word of God and you are giving God thanks, it is crucial in your faith work, right, that we read and we reread those scriptures that show us what God, all right, or where God promised us those things. In other words, if a person is believing God for healing in their body, if you are believing God for something in your life, if you are believing God for an expansion somewhere, you go back and you read those scriptures. You look at those scriptures, and it's pride that stops us from doing this. There's something in man that once he knows something mentally, he feels, I know that. But we are saying that there is much power in you after making your confessions and declarations of faith that you open those scriptures again. That is the evidence of the things that are not seen. Faith is the evidence. It came by hearing. The evidence of the things. And you look at the evidence of those things. Don't just hope. You open it and read those scriptures. And allow those scriptures to start ministering to you. Right? And then he said, listen, during the day, you break. That's what watching is about. Go back to those scriptures there. If there are 10 of them, and read those scriptures. Let your eyes, all right, feast upon the scriptures there. It is important we do that. Going back to the scriptures that you know promised you the thing, and rereading them will bring about fresh insight that will be the game changer. This is what I'm saying. When you start rereading those things, you'll start receiving fresh insight. And it's these insights that you now receive that will be the game changer. Don't make this mistake. And this is the mistake. You know, Copeland said he was confessing and calling it from memory and confessing the scripture. And God told him, go back to those scriptures. He said, put your eyes on the word there. I want to show this, the power of this. Read those scriptures. Very simple, but so profound. Simple step, right? So profound. Go there. Don't make the mistake of believing and confessing things without constant eye contact with the scriptures that promise them. What I'm saying is, do not make this mistake. All right? All the scriptures right now that I have for, let's say, believing for my, all right, the ministry God has given to me on the earth, I can quote them from my head. But I will be making a fatal mistake just to open my book where the confessions are and confess those things without, all right, going back to those scriptures and making eye contact with those scriptures, reading them on a daily basis, rereading them twice or thrice a day, looking at those scriptures, because once you start doing that, right, you start getting fresh insight, and the fresh insight becomes, all right, the game changer there. F.F. Bosworth, the great teacher of faith, said God performs his miracles in men where they continuously behold and act on the eternal realities that he has placed before them. In other words, once you start looking at the scriptures, they will start ministering to you afresh. I want to show this. It is that ministration from the written word of God to you that constitutes in the day of Jesus that if I will just touch the hem of his garment, that's where you make contact with the power of God. I shall be made whole. That's where Jesus said, virtue and power has left me. That's where the Spirit will say, virtue and power has left me into, all right, this person's situation to transform their situation. That's why I tell people, look at the word of God, all right, when I'm preaching there. Because it is the word that ministers to you. Insight will come from the word to you. Many times I will sit at a conference, many times I will sit in a service, and the minister will be ministering, and he will quote a scripture, and something is going on in my own life. And the minute he quotes that scripture, like a piercing sword, something enters into my heart as I start reading that scripture that I haven't seen before. All right? And then a conversation starts in my soul. Are you following what I'm saying here? Conversation starts in my soul.
Sometimes I even listen to a message, maybe 10 minutes. Maybe I just listen some 10 minutes on television, and you know, and they quote the scripture and I look at it and I just look at them going out, and like a piercing sword, a conversation will start, all right? Which means a word, God has sent his word. The Bible says that he sent his word and he healed them and delivered them from all their destruction.
Thank you for listening.